living, I pay a living sanctuary for you. Heavenly Father, we bless thy name, Lord. We praise you. We thank you once again for times like this. Set aside, Father, on this day of the Lord that we could gather ourselves together to worship, to come together, Lord, to fellowship one with another, and to be exalted and build our Father in thy word, Lord. Looking at ourselves in manner of man and woman that we ought to be as we walk in the light for them, for this hour that you have given us, Lord. We are grateful for all your love towards us and your blessing, your grace, your mercy, and all that, Lord, you have so greatly, Lord, blessed us with. We commit this day to you now, even as we approach thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be sitting now, and you know one thing for sure, God has been good to every one of us one way or another. You know, as to Sister Wendy and Brother Lawrence, of course, when they left the fellowship here, knowing there's something that gone through in life. But we, in our fellowship on Friday, we remember them in prayer. And those even who have left us. And I always believe one thing for sure, that God has never left his people. And he would always hold to those that belongs to him in his hand. The only thing is that I often wonder was where are they actually attending fellowship? Knowing that what we have in Singapore in this entire message, there's no other place to go. If a person have recognized the truth, any other of these other churches wouldn't fit in. You know, it was a blessing anyway that I met them in that combined meeting there, and found Brother Lawrence was there, and I was glad. I said, oh, good that at least you can find a place to fellowship. But remember one thing for sure, that there need to be a steadfastness in our faith that we hold on to, or a contending for whatever we have. Amen? Alright. Let us turn to the book of Lamentation. Today we just want to look into two women in the Bible. The book of Lamentation. It is believed, of course, that Lamentation was written by Jeremiah. Lamentation chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thy iniquity, turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burden and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hissed and wet their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Now, here is the first woman we want to talk about. Here is this daughter of Jerusalem, or what we call Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city we all know the Bible mentioned about, how it started. Back then, of course, as known as a city of the Jebusites. And it's a city of David, as it was later on called, and then it was a city, Jerusalem, and city of peace. And this has become a symbol that represents something that is peaceful, purity, where God dwells. So, Jerusalem, the city of peace. Here we talk about the daughter of Jerusalem, people who make up that city, and is used as daughter. Now, we know the Bible, when it uses a woman, it represents something special. it not just say that, well, because it's daughters of Jerusalem mean there's no sons of Jerusalem, but they always use a woman as a symbol of something here, especially regarding a city. Alright, let's go next to verse 22, or let's read on to verse 16 to 22. Oh, thy enemy have opened thy mouth against thee. They hit and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we looked for, we have found, we have seen it. The Lord hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused the enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thy adversaries. Their heart cried to the Lord, O war of the daughter of Zion. Another name for Jerusalem is Zion. Let tears, because Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion, alright? Let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thy eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thy heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the woman eat their fruit and children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the days of thy anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. Thou shalt call as in the solemn day my terror round about, so that the day of the Lord's anger none escape nor remain. Those that I have swaddled and brought up have my enemies consumed. Now, the daughter of Jerusalem is God's people. It's supposed to be a city of perfection, of beauty. But is it so? As the question we ask, is this really the city of perfect beauty? Beautiful to look at. Yet, lamentation here, the proverb weep, how did God even have to deal with her? And there will be such a time as we have already seen in history. Jerusalem has been besieged by her enemy many, many times. And the last time it was the year 70 AD. And then the children of Israel, the daughter of Jerusalem, so to speak, were all scattered. That is one city. Now let us go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 and verse 8 to 13. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in travail, being pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now thou shalt go forth out of the city, thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There thou shalt be delivered. There the Lord will redeem thee from the hands of thy enemy. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let our eyes look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in places many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Go to Zephaniah. Two books down. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 14 to 20. Oh, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he has cast out thy enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy heart hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, And I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out. And I will let them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I gather you, bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back their captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. Now in all that we read concerning the stage, the stages of God's dealing with the daughter of Jerusalem. Remember, just a singular word, daughter, collectively means all that dwell, that belongs to God. It's God's chosen people. Now we know physically that this city of Jerusalem, Israel, is a literal city. And Israel is, what they call titled or called as daughter. And Israel was God's chosen people. And this city or this woman was unique to God in the, because God had already betrothed her. And Israel was God's wife, was already married to her. And God cared for her, that was to speak. But as you know through history, the verses that we just read, mainly because we use the verse that talks about the daughter of Jerusalem, was because they were God's people, God had to deal with them. But in the end, as Zephaniah says, God will bring them all back. And truly they will bring them all back, and they will find joy in that city. Now there is yet another city we want to look at. Let's go to the book of Romans, Revelation chapter 12. Here is the same woman here. We're not going to read all this. Here this woman, we know who this woman represents. In verse 1, it says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This woman cannot represent the church, as some denomination or some theologian will interpret it. And try to say that the church brings forth a man child, which is the first fruit, the first group that will go up in the rapture. But in any way, we have to look at it very carefully. This woman is actually Israel. Or we will say, therefore, it is equivalent to the daughter of Jerusalem. A girl wandered in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. She had the glory of God's word, God's promise. She had the moon under her feet, she had the law that was given. The law reflected the sun. The sun is the full glory of God, the whole world. But the law was given to Israel because they transgressed. So the law was given to carry her under her feet, to carry Israel until such time that their eyes would be opened to see the glory of the sun once more. But it also said that that on her head was a crown of 12 stars. Those were the 12 sons of Israel. And it's through her that a man child was to be given. And that man child was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, if we know this, that not only that this woman represents the daughter of Jerusalem, or Israel, but in her is the gospel that was to come through this man child, and through Israel, this man child being given, the glory of Israel, the light that God gave her, will shine throughout the rest of the nations of the world. Then we Gentiles will be able to receive that light and come to that light and then be grafted to this woman. Now, the Bible don't present it that way, but the Bible presents it another way, which is, of course, we see in book of Romans chapter 11. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 11, here we have Paul talking about the olive tree, and how that the Gentile will be grafted in. We look at verse 11. I said, then how have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Here we are, when Israel rejected the gospel, that's when God took the Gentile and grafted the Gentile into this olive. Alright, so if you want to read, you can read from the rest of verse 13 all the way down. So, we realize then that even as Galatians chapter 3, Paul says that in Christ, in God, in Christ, in the gospel, there is neither Jew nor Gentiles. You got it now? I'm presenting this fact for you to realize that there is no, first of all, no two churches. No two different churches, no two different gospels, that there is a gospel for Israel, that there is a gospel for a Gentile, and there is a Gentile church, and there is a gospel church. There is no such a thing. Though we live today, what we call the church ages, or the church age, where the gospel is given to the Gentile, because it's mainly preached to the Gentiles. But for the last 2,000 years, there are Jews that came to the gospel. Isn't that right? Sure. Like it was in the days before the church age started, they were Gentiles that were in the church. The only thing is that there is a time when God dealt mainly with the Gentiles. Like when God sent Paul to take the gospel and give it to them. So there will always be a staggering of a Jew here, a Jew there throughout the generation of times. Do you understand that? So then when we talk about the daughter of Jerusalem in the Old Testament, sure, before the gospel was presented, it was always dealing with the children of Israel as a whole. But when we look over into this site after the cross, or in this age, so we will say the church age, we want to take this woman, the church, so to speak, eh? Remember, the woman, church is represented also by a woman. Paul says that I espouse you as a chaste virgin unto the Lord. Amen? Correct? So, we take this woman, the church now. The church now is actually, if we look at it, we can give her the name. Jerusalem. Or New Jerusalem in the making. Because the New Jerusalem has not come down yet. It's in the future. But this is the New Jerusalem in the making. So, we are daughter of New Jerusalem. You got a point now? So in this, there is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Now we look into what Revelation chapter 12 said concerning this child that was to be delivered. We realize then that in the book of Acts chapter 1, pardon me because I have a fractured tooth that was removed and there's a big gap inside there at the back of my gum and it causing me knee pain as I speak. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 to 13. Now, we know that in Revelation that this child that was to be delivered, there was a great wonder in heaven, that this great dragon waiting to devour her, him. And we realize that that prophecy speaks of Jesus Christ. For sure, because here we see in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 9 to 13, and when he had spoken this thing, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, this proves that Revelation chapter 12 is speaking none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you go back to Revelation chapter 12 and look carefully again, in verse 3, and then appear another great wonder in heaven, behold a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he still drew the third part of the star of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth the man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Mind you once again that the Bible is not giving you a whole lot of details. The Bible is compacted here. Here, this just few verses is a span of time. We realize that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was He not born in Bethlehem? Yes. Even the book of Micah, the prophet Micah prophesied about Christ coming out of Bethlehem. And we realize that when He came out and born in Bethlehem, King Herod wanted to destroy the child. Isn't that so? Even as you look into this verse very carefully, it says in verse 4, the dragon was ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. Ready to devour, ready to destroy it as soon as the child was born. Now, when Christ was born, of course, the wise men, the magi, you know, they saw the stars and read the sign. They said, no, them that was born in the city of Jerusalem, you know, as a savior. So they went looking for Him. So they took quite a long time before they really found the place or came to realize that it was in Bethlehem. And by the time then they arrived, Jesus was quite a young child then already, and asked Herod, asked around, where was this that was being born King of the Jew? And so Herod came to hear about it, and all those child, under what year? Under what age? Under 2 and below. To be killed. So he was only a child. Imagine that. And he was ready to destroy. And you know that this great red dragon that says in verse 3, He has 7 heads and 10 horns. And we know that it already exists back then. That this woman was going to deliver. And all the time we know that back then when God gave the promise to Abraham, that I will give you a son, and your descendant will be as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. Now, you know, Satan, God of course didn't tell Satan all what he's doing, but Satan was watching what was going to be. And so when he came right now, when the children of Israel became a nation, and then Satan realized that out of this nation will come for the Messiah. So what did they do? I mean the 12 sons. What did they do? What did Satan do? What he did was to get them into Egypt, but it was God's providence. But they went into Egypt after staying in Egypt, and the people, you know, grow, populated, join, sort of live together with the Egyptian. And Moses was sent, and Satan by that time would have understood that here is where the Messiah will come out. And Egypt then was the beginning of that 7 head, one of those 7 head. They began to ready to devour and destroy Israel. Even when God, through the mighty hand of Moses, get them out of Egypt, right? Satan will not give up. The army of Israel, of Egypt, went after them to try to destroy Jerusalem, so to speak, all the children of Israel, to prevent the Messiah from coming. So from then on, when the woman was already standing there, showing the symbol in the visions of John, the glory, and Satan was not that stupid not to know what was God doing, with the law given under her feet, having 12 stars on top of her head, well, we have the 12 patriarchs, and which of course we bring for 12 tribes, and now which of course we also have the 12 apostles, you know, that will judge over the nation of Israel. And throughout all those years, Satan had been waiting as a great red dragon with 7 heads for all 7 different empires the camp leader, each one that conquered the other one before, will always seek to try to destroy the children of Israel from bringing forth the Messiah. Now, go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 31. For I have heard as the voice of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bring forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewail herself that spread her hand. Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Like in a nutshell, here is some sort of prophecy. Israel has always been the problem. Suffered through the hands of the enemy because of their rejecting the word of God, killing God's prophet time and time again. And she will always bewail, but this of course point to the coming of the Messiah. Alright? Now we know that there are seven heads. The first is Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, then we have the revived and revised Roman Empire, which will be at the end time. Now, take a look at this picture here. The, what you call, two Babylon by his law. Now, this is a good picture, I would say, because some picture that artists draw is that having the ten horns, they put some horns on one of these, two or three on this head and one on that head. And that is not true. All the horns is only on one head. I said this many times, I've taught this already in the past. We can do the whole series later on sometime. But there is only one head that have all the ten horns. Alright? And all this one head, there are seven crowns. Okay? Now, here we have this picture. Now, I want you to remember this picture now, the woman holding a cup, golden cup, in her hand. Alright. Now, let's look at the daughter of Babylon. This is the daughter of Babylon. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the children of Babylon. And I like this verse because it has a subtlety there. Deliver yourself, O Zion, that dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Babylon was a city in Mesopotamia. it is where, in that area, it is there where the Tower of Babel was first built. And I don't think that, now we might be wondering, so who on earth gave that name to the city that is called Babylon? What was it called, Babylon? Was it, how it came about, I have no idea. But Babylon means Babel, from the word Babel, from the word chaos. Just as we have our city here in Singapore, we call it Singapura. Means Lion City. Somebody gave the name, we know it was from Temasek to Singapore, or Singapura. So it has some representation, but you just never know who gave that name Babylon to the city. But Babylon came, of course, tracing all the way back to the Tower of Nimrod. If you know about the Tower of Nimrod, who built that was Nimrod and his father Cush. To build that tower to religiously hold the people together from migrating out far away. Or if their people should migrate, then they could always look back across the plain and see that tower from afar and will go back again to worship or pay homage or tribute to Nimrod and to his mother, Semiramis. So it was from that same plain that this city Babylon was built. And you know that by looking at the name Babylon, you realize that this city was no good as compared to Jerusalem. Go to the book of Psalm 137. Psalm 137, 8 and 9. all them who are to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that reward thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dashed thy little ones against the stones. And the one that shall come and destroy Babylon will be none other than our Lord. Isaiah 46:47, verse 1 to 3. Come now and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and green meals and cover the locks. Spread your legs and cover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. I would like this kind of prophecy, this kind of saying. God is dealing with this virgin, I mean, so called, call himself pure. You just think about it. Now, this is talking about the whole city of Babylon, where the people in their literal physical lifestyle, they worship all their idols and all the pagan gods. And they export all their culture, their religion, to all the neighboring nations around. So much so, even the children of Israel were also copying some of the way that they were, some of their lifestyle, so to speak. Don't forget that many of the children of Israel at that time, they were also idol worshippers. Is that right? And this city of Babylon came into being. Wise, spiritual people. And they all have their own faith. And God said, now you spread your leg and see what happened. You are no longer virgin. I will not meet you as a man. And true enough, God is going to destroy these daughters. Don't forget that we have in our last day another Babylon. So we have two cities or two women. Jerusalem and Babylon. One physical Jerusalem city, the children of Israel, so to speak, they dwell there. They have the pure word of God. They have the blessings of God. They were God's chosen people. But of course, because of their disobedience, God will be dealing with them on and off. But God will return back to them, as it's been said. But as to Babylon, a very powerful nation, a powerful city, a powerful empire, Babylonian empire. And they have propagated, they have conquered other nations and impart to them all their religion, their culture, their faith and so on. And you know, I don't know whether you read today's paper, or was it yesterday? I lost track of time sometime. There are a lot of women, because of something in life that they have gone through, they think that they need to go and consult a bomo, or a medium. And they will be deceived by this bomo, or this medium, or priest, or whatever they are called, into giving to him, this medium, something, so that their souls, or bad lucks, will be cleansed. Is that right? And some woman give in to this medium because believing the medium could take away their impurity, their bad luck, the misfortune. And most of them sell them to the man, to this medium, their virtues. So there are a lot of superstitious things that is existing in Babylon. But they think that they are pure. Orgies were conducted in temples also. And they think that by doing these things, they are purified. And which, of course, the opposite is true. They have committed illicit sexual act. You understand that? So that's what we have here in the Bible. It says, bow your legs and cover your thighs. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Thy shame shall be made known. I will take vengeance, I will not meet thee as a man. That's Babylon. And here we have today a new Jerusalem in the making. In the holy city, New Jerusalem, right? This is the spiritual side of the natural Jerusalem that we know. And yet today we also have another Babylon, which is the Bible called Mystery. Babylon the Great. And the Bible says she's the mother of harlots. Two cities, literal, and two cities, spiritual. Now, let's look at this daughter of Babylon closer. Why did the Bible use woman in the first place? Why daughter of Babylon? And strange enough, you know, woman plays such a great part in history. By virtue that they are the weaker vessel, and they can actually exploit themselves, make use of their so-called feminine charms to manipulate. And you know what? Look at this generation, or maybe just this last few 10 years or so. We have seen woman power coming up in many nations. Huh? We have seen that over in Philippines, with India quite some time already. Now we see an American rise coming up, and Hillary Clinton is going for presidential election also. And there is another woman, I don't remember, I read the paper today, which country. The women are coming up in power now. Why? There is a spirit that has been at work for the last perhaps 50 years. Why women power dressed? You remember power dress? They have suit that made to cut like a man. Where they have even this piece of their jacket that make it stick very high, like they are, have power, you know. Make it look very high. You have seen those? The padded. They make them look straight and powerful. But that charm they were used, Satan always used the woman. Because Satan knows that the woman are the weakest vessel. The woman will cry and whine and do all sorts of things to manipulate. And so, when you look back, we trace this city of Babylon, back to Semiramis. Semiramis, she is the mother of Nimrod. Nimrod and Cush, his father. Now we have a trinity here in the sense. After Nimrod died, Semiramis was very manipulative, but very charming. So, she used her influence to say that she was a goddess and that Nimrod did not die. He resurrected. So you have a mother and son relationship here. And that Nimrod was God, and he being the mother make her the goddess. Now that sounds familiar in here somewhere. We have a lot of that sort of a pagan idolatry interpretation made by man, you know, of what God is all about, passed down from dead ages. That's why we have the Chinese goddess of mercy, Guan Yin. Is that right? And we have Ishtar, Osiris, and all these other in Egypt and different places. We are even in Ephesus, Diana, the goddess Diana, with she's a goddess of fertility, have a lot of breasts. So all these were passed down from that time. Now, are people superstitious? You bet. Up to today, human beings mainly are very ignorant and are very superstitious. This morning, while we waited at a bus stop, and here came a bus, the passenger came down. Here was an elderly lady came down. As she came down the bus to the pavement, she made the sound of the cross. I don't know why. I was looking at what there that she was doing the sound of the cross for. Was it because she had landed on the roadside safely from the bus ride? I have no idea. People do all kinds of things, you know. I have a sister sister-in-law, she was very superstitious. I told her all those things are nonsense. And, oh, but I don't say anything about it. You do not know these things are real. But people will believe it. And mainly those that believe it are the woman. Now, you think about it, whether it's true, it's always the woman. Go get back to our background. Or go to this temple, you know, go to that temple, and you say, always at the temple, always more women than you see men. And that's how, because of woman manipulation. It's sad, but true. What do you believe, brothers and sisters? What do we believe? Is there any logic in our faith? Now you have, we say, okay, the Da Vinci Code, big issue here in Singapore. Not really. I read the paper today by reporter Andy Ho. He got a lot of firing from the readers of news, on the newspaper. And he began with this next article today. This is a whole lot of hula-baloo. In the Philippines, they go on what we call that, demonstration. Huh? And also in some other countries, they make a demonstration. I remember one time back, couple of years back, if you do remember, you know Salman Rushdie? I think he was Muslim. He wrote the book called Satanic Verse. And that was a price on his head. Huh? By the Muslim. To go against him for writing that book. So he ran away to America. So the book was banned in Singapore. But now somebody say, wow, the Vinci book had been even not banned. It's sold here in Singapore. The movie also made and not even banned. And screened here in Singapore. So this Christian now say, oh, this will not be. And now all the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. I say, come on, man, the whole lot to me. Everybody have the right to say what they want to say. Everybody have the right, even if they disbelieve God and want to curse God in the face, they have the right. But they will face judgment. God has given you a will. Give you a tongue. Give you a voice. Either you bless the Lord, you curse God. Either way, you have to make a choice. So you think by boycotting or demonstration will prove anything? Do you think so? It will prove anything? All you have is religious strife. That's true, you know. That's what countries are doing. Everybody have. And what did Joshua say? Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's all. Everybody make a choice. Everybody have to know what they believe in. What is your faith? Now we have, okay, the Catholic Church. Believe what they teach is right. But where did that come from now? Look at this coin. Look at the coin. Look at this coin here. This is a Pope Leo the 12th in 1825. He struck a coin bearing his own image. On the other side of the coin shows the Church of Rome symbolized by a woman. As usual, it's always a woman. Why did they use a woman? Was it not something that there was a spirit moving? Huh? Was it not Satan also could imitate what God? When God called the children of Israel a woman, the devil called his also a woman. And take that woman, symbolized by the Church of Rome, represented by a woman, holding a cross and a cup in her hand with the inscription, Siddha, Supra, Universal. The world is her seat. Now, how strange is it not? In 1825 AD, having this kind of a symbol of a woman with a cross and a cup in her hand, was it subconsciously, or was it what he was trying to do? Or was Satan manipulating the whole Roman Catholic Church? To where that this thing is shown to fulfill the Word of God in the Bible concerning Mystery Babylon of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 17. Let's go to that. Revelation chapter 17 here, verse 4, or verse 3. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of name of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. and decked with gold and precious stones, pearl, having a golden cup in her hand. A golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now, just imagine the woman riding on the beast had a cup in her hand. And here you have something that is made by the Catholic Church, by the Pope. Sitting on a globe, you can see sitting on a globe, carrying a cross, and with their hand carrying a golden cup. How true is this? That when we look at it, you wonder how Satan manipulated the whole thing in the whole Roman Catholic Church, and yet the whole system do not understand. Why? Because it boils down to one word, and that word is mystery. Why did the Bible use the word over here in Revelation chapter 17? You read here in verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, prostitutes, the abominations of the earth. Wow. And what did the Bible also say here in the next verse? And the woman, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and the blood of the mother of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You know, what is the significance of this cup? What is the significance of this cup? What did the Bible here use to John? John apparently knew something about this strange appearance. Of a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast with a cup in her hand. And then the word mystery. Babylon the Great. Because, you see, John must be aware that this cup goes back to the Chaldean Empire. Babylonian Empire. And there is a mystery attached to this cup. And that's why the name was written, mystery. Oh my. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, let's go to a few verses first. Jeremiah 51 verse 7. Babylon have been the golden cup in the Lord's hand. They make all the earth drunken. Nations have drunken of her wine. Well, therefore, the nations are mad. Okay, let's look at the next picture now. You understand why? What is so mysterious about this cupboard? Yes, look at this one here now. This Babylonian mystery, the woman with the cup. You don't see a man hold the cup, it's a woman in Babylon that holds the cup. See this cup? The woman is sitting on there. And these are the priests and the kings and whatever they are. There's some kind of ritual going on here. This mystery, or the word mystery, is actually the word secret. Mystery. So sometimes you talk about, like you're telling a story, huh? You keep people in suspense, then you say, mystery. Everybody, you know, just go. Everybody just keep quiet, silent, because there was a secret going on. Huh? Oh, what's that? You know, unsolved. So you keep the people thinking, well, no, this is that thing. So that's why it's a mystery, which actually a word comes from the word secret. It's a silence. It creates a mystery where worshipper abide in blindness. And you do not know what it is, because just think what about now. Think about it. If you ever go to a temple, whether it's a Chinese paganist temple or an Indian pagan temple, you go in. If you're the first time there, you have been, taught, well, you know, this is the way to approach this, you know. If you want to have what you desire, you want to believe in this God, that God, or whatever, this is the way you should do and all this. So you went into the temple. You don't know what to do as yet, then there is always some priest to help you, or some temple assistant to kind of guide you along. So they will tell you, this is what you must do.
And typically in Chinese temple is always three joystick. Three joystick. Or five joystick. It's always an odd number. Huh? That's as much as I know. Or a whole bunch. Okay? And then you will have to maybe need some kind of a sacrifice. So they will ask you to go to a certain place and put some money or whatever. Maybe. So you are being led around blindly. You don't know what on earth is the whole thing all about. You are just told this is the way to do it. This is the ritual. Isn't that the same thing with the Catholic Church? You go to a mass and you pray for the mass and all kind of hocus pocus, everything is okay. You have no knowledge of what on earth this thing, how could this thing be? You don't question whatsoever. When you are told to believe, you believe. Now let me say this. When we sing the song, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Is that right? Don't simply take that. Some people will believe in that. They take that to equate. Just that you only believe, we also only believe. You know what I mean? You only believe in Jesus, we only believe in our God. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why in the Bible, when you only believe, your belief is rested upon the Word of God. That's why we talk about the faith. As much as you have faith in Jesus Christ, you must have the faith of Jesus Christ. It is the faith of Jesus Christ that is the substance. Without the faith of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Some people say, no. Let me say this one thing. You are not saved by your faith in Christ, actually. Do you realize that? Because when you say, I believe in Jesus, I have faith in Christ, I'm saved. The devil also believes in Jesus, but he's not saved. Because he knows who Jesus is. You know who Jesus is, you claim. But the claim is, do you know what the faith of Christ is all about? It is Christ's faith that saves us. As you say, Christ stands in the middle between God and you. If he reaches out his hand, hold my hand. Because he knows he is on safe ground. You are not on safe ground. You have to hold to his hand. So you have to realize the revelation that Jesus had in the position that he stands. You understand that? So when we reach out our hand and touch him and believe in him, we must totally rely on that because he had the revelation that he stands on sure ground. So when we connect with him and rely upon him totally, then we will be part of that, of him on safe ground. You can say, I believe in God, I believe. No, it won't mean anything. Today a lot of people believe in all something, but there is no revelation. And in our Bible, in our faith, there is no superstition on these things. Huh? The very fact is the Bible is a logical book. It's not illogical. A lot of people don't. Some preachers say sometimes you just believe it. You know, there's no logic. No, what mean no logic? Everything in the Bible is logical. It's just a math. 1 + 1 = 2. Never equals to 2.1. You understand that? It is pure logic in the Bible. Do you see what I'm saying now? Okay? So, when you have the Bible here, when this mystery cup, the priest approached it to drink that cup, and the whole world is drunk with that from that cup. Mr. Babylon was on the initiate all these things. And you know what? The Bible talk about this mystery Babylon, exactly a church that had that name. And not only that name, but the Bible said the whole nations of the world are being drunk from that same cup. Huh? They have fornicated with her. And she had daughters. This mother of harlot had daughters. And it tells us about the churches today that are actually being moved back today. Why? Because of that one cup. Mystery. Well, the Roman Catholic just started very easily. And you know what, Roman Catholic people, you are those of you who are once Roman Catholic. Sister Wilma also was a Roman Catholic. Many people just submitted to the teaching of Roman Catholicism without argument. That's the mystery of it. Because just like the medium, just like all those temple priests in paganism, they deceive women into having sex with them for purity so that the woman can be purified. They blindly are being submitted into these things because of superstition. Because there is a mystery, a secret, something that the people do not know. Only the priests themselves know. Do you understand that? Here, did not the Bible say confess your fault one to another? Yes or no? Right. Do you ever hear a priest confess his fault to you? The priest was sitting in the box. You don't do a confession, right? Put a bell. I believe it was. He put something outside there, and then the priest in his parlor will come out. Okay, time for somebody down there to hear some story. So he's sitting in the box. Then you come out there. Curtain is drawn a little back, so you cannot see the priest's face. Oh, Father, I have sinned. What do you have sinned? Confess your fault. Confess all your sins. So you tell him all the story. Who does the priest confess to? To another priest, I was told. But not always. Huh? The Bible says, confess your fault one to another. But you know, the confessing of fault one to another is not to tell you about my sin. You know what I mean? If you have sinned against a brother, you confess your fault to him. But if you have sinned against God, you confess your fault to God. But that is lies, one of the mystery. That only they themselves have the power. You must trust them. You are blind to that blindness and submission to the authority of this whole system of Mystery Babylon. And the whole thing is based on fear and always been. Hey, sounds familiar, isn't it? Sounds familiar, isn't it? Sounds familiar? In this entire message, it doesn't sound like it also. You know, that is idolatry worship. You put you're buying into fear, into blindness, and total submission to a system or a church or a movement or someone, something is dead wrong. You better say what Abraham said. Work forward, this and that and everything. He made no mistake, this and that. Who are you to take the word of Abraham and judge him with the word? I was told this many times, you know. I say, I read what Abraham preaches. I take it to the word. Like Paul said, is that right? Take it to the word. How dare you do that? And you create fear. Measure you are totally, oh yeah, he's a prophet of God. Oh, he's really kind of, oh yes, yes, I just believe, I believe, believe. And he said, if you don't understand, just simply believe it. If you don't understand, believe it. The Bible tells me about spiritual knowledge. It is not simply believing something which I don't know. Whether there's any truth in it, there's nothing to back it up. So the Bible says, check it out and see. Paul said, they take the word and they check it out. That's the bearing. No, they tell you, it's not right, Mr. Babylon. Where did it start? It's all go back to the cup. Go back to the woman. Semiramis, and here we have, oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Mary, it's the mother of God. Here you go. And it goes like that as a mystery, and it keeps on going. Like it or not, all these things are idolatry. And this mystery is how it moves, that is stealth. Stealth means silent. This is stealth, this is steadily. Huh? And very silently. And secretly it is being done. Until over a period of time, people just go and join this religion or movement, and they don't realize that they are being put into a spiritual blindness. And it wasn't for God to open your eyes. Sister Aggie, Sister Woman, all those were Catholic before. You will be still doing the same thing, the sign of the cross. Wouldn't you be doing that? And it wasn't God to open your eyes and my eyes. You will not be here. Today you will be somewhere in some denomination that belongs to, as a daughter of the whole system of Babylon. Said, Job 31, 26, 28. Here is where it is, huh? I want you to read carefully what Job said here. Okay? There is not a good translation in King James, but let me just read it the way it should be read for you. Chapter 31, verse 26 to 28. Here is all about, speaks of
integrity, all right, being honest.
Here he said, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed, and my mouth had kissed my hand in homage, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I would have denied the Lord that is above. That is to say, having seen all that, oh, I saw the stars, I saw the moon. You know, I pay homage to the moon and the sun, as if something is there. And by Job saying, this is iniquity. Holy Father, the Pope is called Holy Father. My goodness, that is iniquity. Don't you know that? Because I have denied my God. Do you see how it is? The words of Brother Brown, they are the absolute. Ha! That is idolatry. Because there is only one that is the absolute. Secretly you have done it. That's what Paul Job was saying. Secretly, I have done it. What book will you choose if you are given a choice? The Bible or the books of Brother Branham? I present this to many Branhamites many times. They are at a confused stage. They don't even know what to do with it. And some may even say, I'll take all the books of Brother Branham. Because you know what? It's easier to understand. The Bible is a bush. They say that. The Bible is a bush. It means that you are beating around the bush because you don't understand the Bible. That is idolatry! It is a bush because you don't have the Spirit of God to guide you. That's why you are in a bush. You understand that? That's why the spirit that is in Babylon. Now Babylon is actually, when you talk about Jerusalem, you talk about spiritual city. When you talk about Babylon, you're supposed to be talking about spiritual city, but it's a religious city. And there is a spirit working. There are spirit working. I take my stand on the word. I won't take my stand on any of these things that is going on. Because if Brother Bam said it's right, our life is hanging on the weakest link of a chain. The weakest link cannot hold you, will snap you fall. Huh? So either we believe the word as the absolute and all that is in it, or we have to believe in some Mary style confession. Huh? They all pretense. And you know what? Sometimes a lot of this ecumenical movement that we have seen in the world today, the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches in Singapore, they come together just like they now say, we must go against this Da Vinci Code, this movie. They're all pretense, come on. They're all sweet talks to please, you know what I mean? You think you have the power to do that? If God wants to have it removed, God will have removed it. God will leave it be. There will be more false Christ coming out with all that force, saying that Jesus, Mary, Magdalene have 100 kids. There will be more of this nonsense coming out. Why? Satan have to confuse. Do you know that? Satan has to confuse. Janice was asking a question to Zoel and asking me about it. People come up to you and say, oh, you see, now you have evidence, document, proving that Jesus Christ was married to Magdalene. And that maybe Judas Iscariot was actually, you know, cooperating, a partner, cooperating with Jesus Christ, sending him to death. Because it was God's will that he must do it. You have all kinds of books coming out. And they say, now, your Bible is not true. The Bible is actually not, it's only part of the whole story. What are you going to say to them? You can just tell them very simple. There will be more books coming out. There will be more books coming out. Just like, how do we prove it? Say, prove to me that the Bible is true. How to prove it? Let me tell you this. That's simple. Janice, if anybody come up, I was telling Joel, if anybody come up to me, like used to be, many times they ask me a question, I give them a question. Take for example, a person come to you, hey, Richard, you believe this thing to be true? With all this evidence? Prove to me your Bible is correct. And that this book are not wrong. I was just telling them this. I say, hey, if somebody come up to you and say, you know, in Malaysia, there is evidence that your father have another wife. And he had many children there. But you believe your father has only one wife.
and you belong to that mother of yours. Can you prove it? Can he prove it? Can you go all the way to Malaysia and hunt for it and prove it? Don't waste your time. Somebody will come out the book and just waste the time. Prove this, prove this, prove this. I don't have to. Do you? Oh, I know that the Bible, what I read in the Bible, it satisfies me, I know. There are evidence and upon evidence to show it's true. Men who do not want to see the evidence will never see it. Even though how much you show it, they will not see it. You have numerics to prove it. You have prophecy to prove it. Huh? The Bible, 1,500 years in the writing, 40 different people. Can it be holding true all the way? With all the evidence, does it satisfy you? Think about it. There will be many, many more books that you have now. You just go on the internet and see the Holy Grail, what Templar, the Templar Knight, the Tank Templar, and all these things, all about this, looking for Jesus, prove Jesus, and the golden cup, and the communion cup, or the Ark of the Covenant, and all these things coming up. Yes. Next time maybe there is a book that says Jesus married not only Mary Magdalene, Mary Martha also. What else are you going to believe? Now the Bible said that Jesus Christ, after he was born, Mary had union with Joseph and had other children, James, Jude, and sister's name were mentioned. But the Caritas wouldn't want to believe it. The Caritas wouldn't want to believe it. And this book by Dan Brown is actually written probably against the Catholic Church. Trying to spool, you know, the whole system. And why do we Christians get involved in it? No. But the daughter of Bishop Babylon get involved in it. And you think what? You will destroy the faith of true believers? It won't. But you will destroy the faith, so-called, of many who doesn't know where they are standing, what they are standing upon. Amen? Now look at the other few pictures. So all these are in, look at this now, you look at it carefully, you have these pictures. Look at a hat. Remember this? It's a fish head, and there's a fish tail and body, right? That's called a dagon. Now all this golden cup, all this head are all traced back from the beginning, from Egypt all the way. The Egyptian practice it. The Assyrian practice it. The Middle Persian practice it. The Babylonian practice it. Grecian practice it. Rome practice it. All the way. All these are carried all the way down. Next are the pictures you have. One more. Remember this? This is the horn. I want to mention about this horn. Remember the dress, the horn? Here's the boy with horns. In mystic, in mythology, in pagan belief, sometimes they have all this, you know, Chinese mythology, so many kind of gods, Indians have all kind of gods, some of them got horns here and there. What are those horns? No, horn represents power. You know that, don't you? Yeah, represents power. And here we have, in the dress, back then, in the Babylonian time, they have this headdress with a horn. Remember, you talk about horn of Nimrod? Huh? When he was a powerful hunter before the Lord? You see? And that's why in those days people wear a horn to show their power. But actually, it's a sex symbol. Like, you know, it's actually a sex symbol. A woman are wearing that horn too. See that? So all these are part of the mystery that is tagged to Babylon. It's all because of the woman who started it out with the cup. Everything is a secret. And nobody knows what all of it is, but people believe, okay, the priest had the power, the woman had the power, because they are all supposed to be people who are involved in something that is very deep for them, for the normal, common people to understand. So you will have to totally trust in them. Like the Catholic Church, the Catholic trust in the Pope, trust in the priest,
Is that not right?
That's true, isn't it?
But today, who do you trust? Huh? There's only one person you trust, and that's Christ. There's only one absolute that you trust, and that's the book. This is what we steadfast on. This is what we believe. Between the two cities, Jerusalem and Babylon, we are being formed into that one holy city, New Jerusalem. And you cannot be part, you cannot be a daughter of this holy city, New Jerusalem, if you are not in the Word of God. Because the whole city, New Jerusalem, is based on this book. Is that right? It is based on this book alone. Remember the Bible said, John said, I was taken up, you know, to see the bride. And he was none other than the holy city, New Jerusalem. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, is formed up of the Word of God. So this thing is not a mystery to us. It is a reality to us. It is logic to us. We are not bound in blindness and submission to a system. We are being bound in revelation to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes, Lord, to see the hour that we live in, to know the truth, O God. And we are thankful for this. We commit, Lord, our spiritual life to you, that we should continue, Lord, to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ our Lord and Him alone. There are things, O God, in this world that will try to hinder us or to pull us away from our walk with you, from the truth. We know there is great deception in the world today. Many's faith will be shaken, Father. And we are going to see a great dark time that is coming upon this earth. And that is true, Father, Lord, for thy word have said so. There will be great darkness upon this world. And how great is the darkness when those whose eyes refuse to see. We ask for your grace continually, Lord Jesus, that we may steadfast to stand in the Word of God, because that's the joy, our joy. There's nothing else, Father, in this world where there is all the chaos that's going on in high places, and in every nation, and even the earth is being shaken, and there will be things ahead of us that, Lord, that will fulfill the prophecy of thy word. And we know one thing for sure, Lord. Whatever thing that will be shaken upon this earth and in heaven, there is one thing that will not be shaken. And that's thy word. And that's our faith in thy word. It will remain truthful, Father. And we thank you for the revelation of it. We thank you, Lord, for your faith that you have received from the Father, Lord Jesus. And that, Lord, that we are casting ourselves upon you totally, Lord, into thy hand, that you will see us through to the coming, to your return back, Lord, to this earth one more time. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.